Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ah!
All right. And today it is Clinton, Michael, me. We're going to get Pepe in here later. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming. We got an hour to go. All right. So Brian Windhorst said something interesting this morning, guys, and I want you to react to it. You know, LeBron is eligible for an extension. The Lakers can offer him an extension in August, a month from now.
He's 38 coming up in December.
Right? I wouldn't do it. Tell you right out.
Well, what? Brian says even if you would do it, he might not sign it. Here's Windhorst.
He is not extension eligible until next month. But obviously, he is watching very closely what the Lakers do. You're not going to hear us talking a whole lot about the Lakers. And they will sign guys, but we're not expecting impactful names. They've got a basically bargain bin shop. And so the real question is, will LeBron look at this Lakers team? He can extend for 2 years and $100 million. I mean, he's at the point where he's going to get $50 million a year if he extends. That is not anything to sneeze at. And so will he extend and commit to this Lakers team? Will he not extend because he's not sure he wants to commit to this Lakers team? Or will he let it go just to find out whether the Lakers can make maneuvers? So Russell Westbrook's contract is going to be expired after next year. If LeBron lets his contract expire, the Lakers could have cap space, and he could do what James Harden is doing, which is lower his salary to help the team. But we'll see.
All right, Michael, something or nothing if LeBron turns down the extension.
It's nothing. He plays by one-year deals anyway.
Right.
So he which wants is to
why,
see
which and Clinton, you said you wouldn't even offer it. Why not?
For that exact reason. I mean, if he's going to sign a one-year deal anyway and he's waiting around, okay, well, then we can just wait around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't have to do all this unnecessary stuff. But here's the reason why, Ireland. How many other teams really actually, and I'm not saying this generally, I mean specifically, would leverage half their future for a year 19 LeBron James? Like, if you think about the actual franchises in the NBA that would be willing to do that, there are not more than three or four. And those teams aren't good enough for LeBron to want to go there. I think the Lakers, with LeBron specifically, are in a bit of a position of advantage. I mean, what is he going to do, go to the Wizards? He's going to go to some other team that's going to throw you a bunch of stuff? Like, there's not really, at this stage of his career, a ton of options for LeBron if you're going to try to deal and trade him or whatever. If he's going to walk away to somewhere, he's going to walk away to somewhere. That's going to happen anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think it's a very unique situation with the team and him right now.
Yeah, if he wants to keep playing when he's 39, even 40, if I was him, he's a billion-dollar athlete. What's $30 million to him, right, or whatever? So I would, if I was him, I'd sign one-year deals. And if he wants to continue playing at 39-40 where he doesn't have to carry the weight of a team, say, I want to have a little fun and chase some rings. And maybe I'll go sign with Boston. Maybe I'll go sign with whoever. That team looks like they just need a piece of me.
Yeah,
why not do that?
Because the reason why, Michael, is because that's what everybody thought he was doing with the Lakers.
So what? Who cares what everybody's thinking?
I know, but my point is, and that blew up in a way that the Lakers, I said this all the time, Planet LeBron crashing into Laker Nation, both sides learned a lot about each other. And I don't necessarily know that any NBA franchise wants to say, we'll invite Planet LeBron into our orbit for 1 year or two, because next thing you know, you got him taking over your franchise. And I don't think that was a bad thing for the Lakers, but I think other teams might be a little bit more reticent.
No, I think at 39 or 40, if LeBron wants to continue to play at that age, that stage of his career, he's not going to go to Boston and say, I'm going to take over from Jason Tatum.
Is it even possible for him not to do that, though, is what I'm saying, just because of who he is?
Yeah, because at that age, nobody's expecting LeBron to be carrying a team to a championship. Will you at 40 years of age?
No, but I just mean in terms of the personality of who he is. With LeBron James walks into your locker room, you've got a different dynamic off the rip.
He'll walk in as a senior citizen voice like a Kareem. Kareem was.
Okay.
Even though we had Magic and Worthy, but we looked up to Kareem as our the voice of the team.
But is that something you can do for a team like the Celtics?
Oh, yeah. For a guy like LeBron with his resume, yeah. If you're Jason Tatum and LeBron's in the locker room stressing next to you, you're not going to listen to LeBron James?
Do you want LeBron James there, or do you want to be able to beat
Why
LeBron
not?
James?
Oh, come on. Right, nobody cares about that crap anymore.
I'm asking you, sir.
I just want to win.
I'm asking you, my man.
Ooh, I got to beat that guy. No, just go win your ring. When they hand you a championship ring, on your ring they go, and he beat so-and-so.
It doesn't show the opponents.
Right. It just says NBA champion.
How much bigger? Well, Clay doesn't have his latest ring yet, right?
Not that they won't get that until they won't be made until probably October, November.
I wonder how much bigger that one will be than the first one you got. Did you get one in '88 or '87, '88?
And it looked like high I guess I got to be careful. They're still valuable. I love them, but sure. They look like high school rings compared to the rings they hand out now.
Yeah,
all these rings are gaudy.
Completely different animal. All right, so on kind of a similar subject, Bergman sent me this tweet of an anonymous GM, Jake Fisher, a reporter, talked to a GM, but he's anonymous, said that DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and 5 number one picks are not enough to get Kevin Durant in this GM's opinion. So my question is, what is enough? If you're trying to get Durant out of Brooklyn, what do you need to come up with to get that done?
I don't understand this take by everybody or even the approach by Brooklyn, Clinton, if this is the approach. To me, at 34 years of age, I still love KD, okay? He's still a stud. But he's 34. He's not 25. He's not 27, just coming into his prime. And if you're Sean Marks, what's wrong with Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton, two guys who are potential all-stars and a couple of firsts, or even a first? To me, that's good enough.
This is even more than
I'm kind of with you on that. I don't need, like, and just in general, like, if you think you're that close, why do you need 6 players? You know what I mean? Like, I don't really understand that, and I'm with you. If you want to make that team better around KD, you can do it without acting as if you need somebody's entire farm system in order to get it done. Right. I totally agree with you, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Ayton and Mikal Bridges and a first-round pick is sufficient. I think that's a good deal for both teams. Right.
Can you explain to me, Michael, and he's represented by your old friend Bill Duffy, who you went to college with and who represented Clay for a while. Can you tell me why DeAndre Ayton and Phoenix are getting a divorce?
Give me the Bahamian angle, too.
I don't know. Him and Marty Williams just seemed to didn't get along. Maybe DeAndre felt like he was disrespected because they took him out of the playoff game against Dallas, but they could have taken everybody out. They were down by 100 points by halftime. Wasn't going to make a difference. He didn't play much in the second half, not upset him. But, yeah, I don't understand why they devalue DeAndre Ayton so much, because if they do trade him, I'm not worrying about Phoenix no more. They're not on the level of Golden State if they trade him.
I totally agree, and this is something I think goes well beyond Monty Williams, Ireland. When this season started and that huge story dropped about the Suns' owner and all the nonsense and shenanigans they had going on behind the scenes, one of the big details, one of the few details about actual on-court stuff was him undermining Ayton and saying, I think this guy's lazy. I don't think he deserves a big deal.
Right.
I think that still lingers. So when you got a guy like him playing as well as he did when they made the finals last season,
he could play,
or 2 seasons ago, and then next thing you know, he's not getting run in the late games, he's probably thinking, does anybody around here like me?
Exactly.
I understand this.
I don't get it, because he's the third best center in the game.
Yeah,
to me,
he's a fulcrum of that team, in my opinion. That's the reason they got to the finals when they did, is because Ayton had a monster playoff. Absolutely. So, it's beyond me why they're not respecting him.
And where do you think he ends up?
Maybe Indiana. They seem to have a like him for a Miles Turner. Will go someplace else. But if I'm Sean Marks, I don't understand why Sean Marks doesn't value him. And Mikal Bridges is a stud.
That guy can play, bro.
Yeah.
Not just because he's Bahamian.
No, Mikal Bridges is a good young player.
Right.
Just starting to come into his own. I don't understand why they're underestimating those two young talents. To me, that's the best package you can get, because the Warriors ain't going to trade for him, so I don't understand what they want.
Too often, Ireland, I think teams get caught up in, if somebody got X and X for one guy, then I've got to get X and X plus one for mine. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, I don't think that's necessary for the Nets. Just get the dudes you want. You know what I'm saying? And then, in the NBA, I know assets are assets, but when you're as close as you believe you are for the Nets, players are players. And that's going to give you more, I think, from a right now standpoint than anything. And I'm with Michael on this. There's sufficient to what you need to win, as opposed to sufficient to what you need to just say you got a haul.
Another player I thought it was weird they let him walk, and I'm curious if you guys agree, is why would the Warriors let Gary Payton walk to Portland?
Oh, that's so complicated because of the luxury tax penalties, which is so stupid by the NBA. I don't understand the NBA. They make it hard for teams to keep the guys they developed with this stupid luxury tax payments. You should not get taxed on players that you developed, you drafted, and you developed, that nobody else wanted or that you were smart enough to draft. You should not get penalized for rewarding guys for success. That is a dumb rule.
So
you need to get rid of it.
Strictly financial, they didn't make him an offer?
If they would have paid Gary the money that the Blazers offered him, I think it would have ended up costing him like an extra $50 million. Now,
that's
you
absurd.
Say, but you know what, though, Clinton? Man, they print money up there in Chase Center. That would have taken their payroll up to around $400 million, Ireland. But I heard from a reliable source that they gross $900 million up there.
So do you, Michael, do you believe when you hear these rumors that they're in on KD, that they're going to make an offer? I don't think they need
him. No, I wouldn't do it. I love KD, but what they are building right now, Clinton, is they've got the three veterans, the three Hall of Famers, and because they got Poole and Kuminga, Moody and Weissman and Looney and Wiggins behind the three Hall of Famers, they can basically ease Steph, Clay, and Draymond into minutes played because they've got this young talent behind them that could take up a lot of the slacks on the minutes, which is going to prolong Steph and Clay and Draymond's career. So because of that, because of the youth they have coming up behind them, I wouldn't break that up.
This is the single best thing that any team does, I think, in a lot of sports, which is how the Warriors develop their culture. Mm-hmm. We can go across the sporting world. I mean, baseball, hockey, basketball, like the fact that they maintained after having a teenage amount of wins 2 years ago, and you just said, you know what? When they get their guys back, you know it's going to work. Because all those young guys, exactly how you stated, developed, stayed within the system, and when it came time to get down to it, they did it. You know, the Warriors do that better than anybody, and I don't think that they want to mess that up. Not that KD messes it up because he was once there, but if you have to get rid of something that is already working for you and is going to work for you in the future, you don't need to do
that. Kuminga and Weissman are freakish athletes. Yep. You cannot give them two boys up. 20 years of age, they are. Kuminga reminds me of a cross between Len Bias, Scottie Pippen, and Sean Marion.
Wow.
Our boy can play. He's got a good outside shot. He's probably the most athletic forward in the game. You can't give that up.
I've been pleasantly surprised by Scottie Pippen Jr. in these three Laker preseason. I think, you know, they gave him a two-way contract. I think he might get to play.
Yeah, man. He listens to his old man. He'll be success. Scottie's one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, plays half the defense that his dad did.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll be all set.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, they are rebooting two of your favorite shows.
Let me guess. It's got to be Frasier and The Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners?
Oh, I love The Honeymooners.
Your Frasier is a brilliant show.
You're one for two.
Frasier, okay.
And I'll tell you the details next. Michael Thompson in today. The Big CY, Clinton Yates, filling in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason in Ireland, the Big CY in for Mason. Ireland's here. Of course, Michael Thompson is here as well. And the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is coming up next week. And we are kicking off the All-Star Weekend with our All-Star Friday night on Friday, July 15th. Friday, July 15th at the West Covina Sportsplex. You'll be able to watch the Wiffle Ball Bash. That's a home run derby. And the All-Star Softball Game featuring our hosts and personalities from 710. Your boy's going to be there. I have multiple first base gloves, Michael.
Oh,
so you're going to see me getting scoops on the infield. All our shows will be broadcasting live starting at 10 a.m. going all the way to 7 p.m. Everyone in attendance will have a chance to win tickets to the Midsummer Classic. 710's All-Star Friday night is open to the public. Compress the flesh. But if you want to get on our VIP guest list, text STAR to 40705. That's STAR, the word, not the emoji, to 40705. Your Southern California Hyundai dealers, it's your journey. Own it with Hyundai.
Mason playing in this?
Yeah, he'll be there.
Mason will be there. I'll be there. A lot of other people will be there.
You think Mason will actually hit the ball?
Absolutely not.
No, he'll hit himself in the foot or something. He'll foul it off his foot.
He's planning on DHing. I do not end up
in the hospital or something like that. Yeah. All right, so, Michael, I don't know anyone who watches the TV show Frasier as much as you. Did you hear?
I love Frasier.
Yeah,
they are bringing it back.
Good. With everybody except the old man?
With everybody except John Mahoney, who died. Here's the premise. According to Kelsey Grammer, Frasier is going to move. He's going to end up in a different place in the end, and he's going to start what he thinks is one life, and it turns into another. I think of him as George Bailey now from It's a Wonderful Life. He's about to go travel the world. He wants to go see the world, and something happens that pulls him back, and he has a completely different life than what he planned. But as a result, he ends up with love and emotional riches and a life that's extraordinary, and I think that will be Frasier's story. Mm. He had reached out to David Hyde Pierce, Jane Leaves, and Perry Gilpin. He's optimistic he can get all of them.
Great.
You mentioned that John Mahoney, who put his dad, had passed away.
Yeah.
He died in 2018. Michael, good idea or bad idea to reboot Frasier?
Oh, it's great, man. That show was so well written and so well acted, so definitely great to have them back.
I would do I would do an episode by episode podcast of Frasier if I
like, Michael would in, do it with you.
That's yeah. what I'm saying. If yeah, I was yeah. invited to do this, I love that show.
Okay, that
like
good.
love that show. Yep. That show was one of the reasons why I really started to look at television as kind of an art form mm-hmm. and not just an entertainment piece. Fun fact about Frasier, by the way, too, Greg. Roz and Daphne, who play different characters on the show, best friends in real life. Wow. They're neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Yeah. Now, as far as the other show, please tell me the other show they're going to reboot is Big Bang Theory. I love
no,
that show.
Ah! That would be hard to do.
I love that show.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, Michael, the other thing they're going to do is, you know how on Jeopardy,
oh, I've heard of this.
They do Celebrity Jeopardy for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They're now going to make Celebrity Jeopardy an actual separate show.
Oh, good.
So every time you tune in, you'll see some not like a normal person, but you'll see somebody else.
Well, hold on.
You're talking about the contestants or the host?
The contestants.
Okay. It's a spinoff. Yeah.
How big are the celebrities?
Well, I mean, normally, like Aaron Rodgers has played in it. This is going to be similar to Celebrity Wheel of Fortune or Celebrity Family Feud. You know how they
sure.
do that?
Yeah.
And according to the press release, will be filled with lots of trivia that and because all these shows are going to air back to back. Now, the interesting thing, here's some of the contestants that have done it over the years that they're talking about bringing back. Anderson Cooper, Jodie Foster, Ashton Kutcher, Neil Patrick Harris.
We took no black people.
Remember, there was a big controversy when LeVar Burton, everybody thought was going to be a candidate to do it.
Yeah.
They haven't picked a host yet, so this may be the way they bring LeVar back. Right now, Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings are hosting Jeopardy.
If they relegate LeVar Burton to Celebrity Jeopardy, that's
what's wrong with that?
Almost as insulting as not hiring him from the beginning.
He's still a celebrity, isn't he?
Oh, he's certainly a celebrity. But yeah. I'm just saying that, like, the reason why LeVar Burton was a good pick for what I'll just call actual Jeopardy mm-hmm. is because LeVar Burton is really smart. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And LeVar Burton is the reason why I like to read books. Take a look.
Yeah.
Are you it's good in with, a book.
Are you good with literature? Those kind of that
reading
category?
Reading Rainbow.
Oh. What? that's one category I would never
What
pick.
I'm saying is that, like, I thought LeVar had the gravitas for the actual show.
Yeah.
To sort of put him
smart.
On after the fact oh. for the celebrity thing, I think would be
well,
a little weird.
He'd win the celebrity thing.
No, I mean, as the host, it just feels like a secondary thing. Yeah. It's like having him coach the AAA team as opposed to the big club. The big club.
All right. Tell me what you guys think of this. Rob Manfred, the baseball commissioner, plans to introduce robot umpires in the 2024 season. So not this year, not next year, but the year after that, you get rid of umpires calling balls and strikes. Clinton, what do you think?
I hate this with the passion of a thousand suns.
Why?
For two reasons. Number one, when you grow up playing the game of baseball, the umpire's role on the field is way more than just outs and balls. There's a ordered pairs to what happens. The human beings that are there doing it matter to the way that the game is played and evolves. Number two, this subset of baseball fans that have hijacked the game to think that the exact precision of every ball and strike call is the only thing that we care about, bro, get out of here with that.
Okay.
I don't, and here's the third thing. The way to make umpiring better is very simple, Michael. Get better umpires. You do not institute robots. The umpiring system allows guys to stay in the league for 30-odd years for no reason. That's the issue.
I'm completely on
the
other
side.
I'm completely on the other side of this. And Bergman, I'm curious where you are on this. Clinton, every stadium, and Michael Trace asked Trace about this. I wonder what he thinks. Every stadium has Quest Tech now.
Sure.
Every stadium has an electronic strike zone.
Okay.
All you have to do is look at it. If you're a hitter in baseball, and your son is, all you want is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You want
yeah.
to know that if the strike zone's between your armpits and your knees, they never call a pitch at the armpits a strike. They always say it's too high.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if you hit the knees, it's too low. If we had Quest Tech, if we had an electronic strike zone, the pitchers and the hitters would adjust. It would be smart, and it would save time.
I don't agree with that because I also don't think that what you get out of that is necessarily what you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, the human element of why umpires exist has a lot more to do than just balls and strikes, in my opinion. And I'm also telling you this. You want consistency? That's fine. But again, I don't understand the jump from humans to robots.
Well, they'll still be
why not just replace the
humans? Hey, Michael, before you jump in, and Brigman, I want to know what you think, too. 877-710-ESPN.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because Clinton and I are the exact opposite on this. We'll take a few calls. 877-710-ESPN. If it's up to you whether or not to put in an electronic strike zone in baseball, do you do it? Greg, before you got to answer the phones, what would you do?
So if this, I hear what you're saying, Clinton, but I would go to the robot umps, but also because you're not losing the umpire in general. The umpire is still very much a part of the game. He still has to call whether or not you're swinging at certain pitches. If there's a play at the home plate, if the play somewhere
but all
else.
But that, all that's all subject that's, to replay, Greg.
Well,
right.
No, the play at the plate, like calling to the safe, they're not going to go to a replay every single time. Safe or
but
out,
they can.
That's going to happen. They can go to replay, but you're still going to have, the guys are still there to make the call.
How many times have you watched a game? Who was that guy, Michael? Aaron Gregg, who was like that wide-body umpire who kept changing his strike zone. Michael, if it was up to you, if I made you commissioner of baseball, do you put in the robot ump or no?
I've been saying it for years. They should have, since they have the technology to call balls and strikes. And you still need the umpires for check swings and stuff like that to appeal and all that stuff. You understand that, call guys out of the plate. But just for the call balls and strikes, if they got the technology to do it, like what they do in tennis for balls in the line now. They just go to
and it's super fast.
Yeah. Right, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's a larger issue about the consistency of umpires because of who the actual human beings are. And if you really want to solve the problem, this is a separate discussion if we really want to get into this in terms of like the diversity of the game as well in general. Why is it that these dudes have been umpires for 25 years, every single one of them?
Okay,
that
but
doesn't
I would
make
argue,
sense to me.
Clinton, I would argue that if we fire every umpire, we just say, hey, we're going to base this on merit and you guys all have to earn your jobs back. And we grade everybody and get better umpires to take a page from your first answer, we're still going to miss calls. And there's still going to be different strike zones.
I can live with that. That's baseball.
If I'm a hitter, if I'm Trace Thompson, all I want is to know that a pitch that's at my knees is going to be called the same every time. And right now it's not.
The reason I'm saying this is because maybe there are people that are actually good at that just aren't doing the job right now. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to jump all the way to some goofball technology and take human beings out of the game. And guess what? You might actually get an improvement on what it is umpires do if you get these dudes out of there who've been doing this for 25 years.
But you're always going to get bad umps.
Right? I don't know that I agree with that because the effort has never been made.
Boy, it's interesting.
The effort has never been made at baseball.
I am for this to the same passionate degree that you're against it.
I just think that the people who think that the exactness of the strike zone is the most important deal in all of baseball at all times is such an actual minuscule percentage of baseball fans. It's hijacked the game on
all
a
right,
level
here's,
that I don't understand.
Here's a guy who thinks going to agree with you, Daniel in Sherman Oaks, because Daniel, it says here you went to umpire school.
Thank you.
Yeah, I went to umpire school in Florida, and then what would be the point? Now we're just going to do robots. You're going to take away all these jobs. People aren't going to do this anymore. You're going to take people that actually like baseball away. And, I agree that they are in the game too long for some of these umpires. It should be stricter. But, I mean, we are trained to do the best job we can. And now, well, what's the point? Then why don't you just do it for basketball, football? I mean, do it for the rest of the sports.
Well, we kind of do. I mean, Michael and I have to, thanks for the call, we kind of have to sit through 10 replay reviews every game every day. But I'm just, as a hitter in baseball, or even as a pitcher, if I know exactly where I can throw the ball to get a strike, I think the game's going to be better.
But you still need an umpire back there. Unless if a guy fouls a tip off and the catcher drops it, you still got to know if it's still a foul tip or something.
And
right?
By the way, Clinton, it would be an umpire making the call. He would just get two beeps if it's a strike and one if it's a ball.
I get how it works. But umpires just do a lot. Strikes and balls, I hate that this sounds ridiculous to say, as the biggest baseball fan probably here, strikes and balls are not so important that you need to hijack the entire concept of what umpires are to make it right. I really don't actually think that. I genuinely don't.
Chris in L.A., Chris, what do you think of this idea?
Hey, guys, I love it because I'm tired of there being a different strike zone depending on which umpire is there. I'd rather have the balls and strikes called correctly, and they will still be involved. And to me, it's like in basketball, if you had one group of referees calling the court five feet longer than the other, or in football, it's 110 yards for some officials, but it's 90 yards for another official. Let's have a consistent strike zone. The umpires are still there for everything else, and the game can be actually called as to whether or not they're balls and strikes. And that is a vital part of the game. That's not insignificant. That's where everything starts. There is no ground balls or home runs unless you know exactly what to swing at. So I think it's wonderful, and it's time.
Oh, we lost you.
Here's my hottest take quickly, Island. If the K zone was not implemented on the screen regularly, I'm telling you, 85% of baseball fans wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, but
that's the reality.
If I'm a pitcher or a hitter and I get squeezed on a call, that would drive me crazy.
Sure, but that's baseball. That's the fun part. Yeah, if you ask me, you know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like if we're playing a game here, we're not running a simulation. You know what I'm saying? Like if the human error gets it messed up and you get something, like to me, that is the fun part.
Well, it's like Max Muncy happened the other day. He was freaking out on the umpire. He's like yelling at him. Like they can tell when it's not in the strike zone. They know it. So if they don't have a K zone in front of them, they can't see it. So if they're already, they know that it's not a ball or it is a strike or whatever it happens to be, it's a problem. These umpires are a problem. There's a thing called ump scorecards on Twitter.
I know.
And it's awful. Most of these guys are terrible.
Well, who's the one guy? Angel Hernandez,
there.
Who
oh,
like
the worst.
Is
absolutely.
Like,
Lance Barrett. I shouldn't know these guys' names. Joe West. Like, stop.
Yeah, okay. So get rid of those guys.
Yeah, get rid of them.
I don't need an iPod or a robot to get rid of three dudes who suck.
Look, they're still going to have some
questions.
They
already got rid of Cowboy Joe. He's out. But here's Michael in Mar Vista. Let's squeeze Michael in here. Hey, Michael, what do you think of robot umps?
I think it's a great idea, and I'll tell you why. I think that getting rid of the umpires calling balls and strikes eliminates some of this animosity that hitters and pitchers have towards certain umpires. It'll make the game go faster. And, you know, you see these guys getting all upset and throwing a hissy fit. They wouldn't have a reason to. And I don't want my guys thrown out of a game because they know it's a ball, but the ump called it a strike, and my best hitter gets thrown out of the game for arguing it.
All right. Michael, thank you for the call. And, Clinton, here's the other thing. Baseball games are too long. I'm in favor of anything that speeds them up. This would speed them up.
I don't know that I agree with that because the thing that makes baseball games too long is pitchers taking too long on the mound.
Yeah.
All
they got to do is enforce the pitch clock, which they won't do.
Number one thing.
But and when relievers come in, they got to throw another 10 pitches after they warmed up for 20 minutes.
That's a whole other discussion.
Okay. There is still no news on Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving.
It is going to let these drag out till October.
They might. But at least one person at ESPN, Michael, and you weren't here when we played this before, so I want to get your reaction, thinks that KD doesn't really want to get traded at all. We'll play that for you coming up next. Mason in Ireland, Michael Thompson's here. Michael Scott, Game of Games, coming up in 10 minutes. The Big CY, Clinton Yates in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Ireland, Game of Games coming up in 10 minutes, and Michael Thompson has the game today. Michael's in studio with me and the Big CY, Clinton Yates. Mace is out today, and Sedano and Cap will be along shortly in about 20 minutes. Wanted to bring this up again because, Michael, you weren't here when Clinton and I talked about it before. At least one person at ESPN, a person we like, Kendrick Perkins, thinks that Kevin Durant is posturing. Here's Perk.
I don't believe Kevin Durant. I don't believe it at all. Matter of fact, it makes zero sense to me that he wants to be traded at this point. I don't believe he believes it. I think Kevin Durant is doing this as a scare tactic in order to help Kyrie Irving have leverage to get him signed long-term with the Brooklyn Nets.
Michael, what do you think? Any chance that KD is just posturing and he's going to end up in Brooklyn to start the season?
Can we hear you?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm on, right?
Yeah, I mean, the mics are on.
Yeah, we can't hear you for some reason.
Katie
but
says what he
there
he
goes.
There we go.
Yeah, whatever he did, that did it.
Hi, guys.
Katie says what he believes. So I think since he asked for a trade, once he makes up his mind, he wants out. I don't know where Kendrick's getting this from.
And but let's look at this, Clinton, from Brooklyn's perspective.
Sure.
And that's where I think Laker fans are getting this wrong a little bit. Laker fans are like beating on Rob and Jeannie and everybody. Hey, you got to make this move. The Lakers can only make a move with a willing partner.
Right.
Yeah. The Nets control all of this.
Right.
And I don't think they're in a hurry.
I guess Laker fans just want the Lakers to make the call. We don't know if they have or not. Just make the call.
I think the Lakers are not in a position of strength here.
No.
That's where all of this normally changes. I mean, you talked about rebuilding the roster from going from AARP to AAU. That's where the things needed to happen.
Yeah.
And that's where they actually had some leverage to do some things. Randomly trading for superstars with leverage, with assets you don't have is a much different scenario than just, we got to go get somebody. It doesn't always work out like that.
And it also, some of this comes down to who do you trust? In other words, we just played Perk. Michael, I kind of tend to agree with you. I think Perk might be off on this.
Yeah, he is.
But Shams is saying there's no traction.
Okay.
That they're not even talking. Here's what Woj says.
Because I think Brooklyn's asking for too much.
All right, here's what Woj has said about Kyrie.
Malik, listen, I think there's a dance that the Nets and Lakers are going to do over a period of time here. And I do think there was a check-in between the two teams. I think ultimately, I think one of the big questions that would have to be answered in a Kyrie Irving Laker deal, and if Russell Westbrook's involved, then he almost certainly would have to be just based on the contracts. How many draft picks or draft pick would the Lakers be willing to give up? They've got their 27 pick, they got their 29 pick. And I think as that conversation probably picks up again here, whether it's at Summer League or further in the summer, I think probably the Nets' insistence that they get, significant draft compensation, especially taking on the money, the additional money, and of course the value of Kyrie Irving as a talent. But I think both sides know the other may not have anywhere to go in the interim. And so I don't know if there's a rush for the two of them to sit down and really get moving. But again, I would imagine both Rob Pelinka, Sean Marks will be in Vegas in Summer League. And that's a conversation they could decide to pick up there again.
Since they're not in a rush, let's set Brooklyn aside for just a moment.
Okay, so he basically says that these guys are all going to be in Vegas starting this weekend for Summer League. And that they could talk in person there. But there's no, Michael, like you used to say, there's no E word, urgency.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing needs to happen.
Right, because neither team is under a gun here. Right. So I'd be surprised if anything happens this week or next week.
I would too. And Michael, let me ask you this. In general, I was talking about this a little bit when you came in, the amount of dirty laundry that the Nets have aired out from their side as well, I feel like it's been borderline untoward. I thought it was very odd that they said that, Cy admitted out loud they'd be willing to go on without either star. What did you think about that in terms of how they're sort of handling things with their players from their side?
I got no problems with it. If a player's asked out, like Kyrie, and the owner comes back and says, well, if we got to move on, we got to move on. We're all adults here. We're all in this game. We know how this works. We don't have to worry about guys' feelings. They want to move on to something else. Just like any relationship, whether it's personal or business, if someone doesn't want to work with you or be with you anymore, you can't. Don't force them to, and get the best package you can, but don't overprice yourself and sort of try to hurt the other. Make it fair for both sides.
I mentioned that Woj, as you heard, was a little more optimistic about the possibility of something getting done. Shams is kind of the opposite. Here's Shams.
Kyrie Irving getting traded to the Lakers or not?
There's no traction on any type of a Lakers deal for Kyrie Irving.
Yikes.
So there's nothing new on that. And I'm not quite sure we're going to see that take place.
All right, so he thinks may never happen. Here's Stephen A. Smith on Kyrie.
And Kyrie Irving is telling everybody he plans on going to L.A., meaning the Lakers, as soon as he possibly can. The likelihood is that you'll have to go through this season, and then when he becomes a free agent after this upcoming season is over, he plans on rejoining LeBron James in a Los Angeles Lakers uniform. They'll have about $70 to $80 million under the cap. They're going to use it on Kyrie Irving, or so Kyrie Irving has been convinced to believe.
That strikes me as easily the most reasonable thing out of all of this that could possibly happen. You play another year, and then he's free, and he just comes and joins his friend.
Right.
And if I'm a Laker fan, that's perhaps a better option than trying to give up anything, to get him now. I really actually believe that, because what are you going to leverage to get Kyrie this year?
Okay, I think Laker fans would come back at you with this. We only have LeBron for a limited window.
Yeah.
can we afford to throw away one of LeBron's remaining years by not going and getting Kyrie now?
I mean, if you look at that as throwing away, then I just
disagree. Can the
with
Lakers,
that.
In yeah. your opinion, win the title this year with the roster as currently constituted?
No, but I also don't think that that's throwing a season away. I think they've got to get way better anyway. Reminder,
right.
just because the team was in ninth or 10th doesn't mean they were actually anywhere close to anything. That team was way below 500.
Well, and Michael, the thing I say is if you – I was talking to James Worthy yesterday, and I said – you know, if you get asked, Worthy and I get asked to do a bunch of podcasts and shows yep. and stuff like that. And if I told a show I was on last week, if you get asked about the Lakers and in the first 60 seconds, you don't say the word defense, then you haven't been watching the Lakers. Defense is the biggest thing they need to fix. Our defense was so bad and so porous last year that it took us out of most every game. Michael, the guys they have signed, all these young guys, Damian Jones, Thomas Bryant, Juan Toscano-Anderson, all these guys, will they help the defensive outlook of the team?
Sure, sure they can help, but you got to practice it. You got to drill it like Pat Riley used to do with us. Everybody thought Showtime Lakers is all about flash and dash and James Worthy and Byron Scott finishing on the break and Magic Johnson with his pretty passes, but the foundation of that team was our team defense. Mm. And we practiced it ad nauseum in practice. We used to have those three-hour practices back in those days, Clinton, and we'd practice. We start at 10 a.m. and by 11:35, 11:37, then we concentrate to offense.
Right.
It's like, geez, we're asking me run some plays here. It's just defense, defense, defense. But you got to drill it. And Darvin Ham has to come in with that mindset, that philosophy. Boys, we're going to start off playing defense, and we're going to implement our system. And if you aren't willing to buy into it, then I just can't play you.
Well, you mentioned Darvin Ham. I mean, in every interview Darvin's done, he's talked about defense. When he was on last week with Travis and Sliwa, here's what he said about defense.
The fortunate thing is they just won a championship here 2 years ago, and there was a standard that was set defensively. There's a plan that has to be put in place to where I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of in terms of the little things. We're going to start this new, quote-unquote, Darvin Ham era on the defensive end and build our way down to the offensive end.
That's exactly what you were just saying.
I'm telling you, everybody's during the finals. I'm up there watching all these games up close.
By the way, the number one and number two defensive teams in the NBA this year were Boston and Golden State.
And all everybody was talking about Clinton, and it was driving me crazy. I was talking to people like you and all these other idiots on TV.
People like me.
Television's Clinton,
yes, thank you. I appreciate that
pundits,
compliment.
All you pundits, Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins from Stephen A. to all of y'all. You were all guilty of it. Oh, Steph this. Oh, Steph that. And rightfully so. Steph put on an offensive display. But I'm telling you, what turned around. And game one, if you remember, in the second half, the Warriors could not get a stop.
Mm-hmm.
Boston went on like a 20-0 run. I said, and I'm going to go, guys, can you get a stop? Somebody play defense. So Boston wins the first game. Second game, the Warriors defense improved. They evened up the series. Third game up in Boston Garden, watching the game. And Boston couldn't miss a shot. They could not miss. I said, geez, Warriors, just play some defense and you'll win.
Yeah.
So they get beaten game three. Game four, they come back. They shut them down defensively. Game five, the same thing. Game six, and game six here in Boston. Clay, Andrew Wiggins, Gary Payton, they put some defensive clamps on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but nobody even mentioned it. People just overlook it. They don't realize how important defense is. But I'm sitting there watching Celtics can't score.
Yep.
Marcus Smart, the Warriors have locked him up. And that's what turned the series around. That's what won the series for him. Yes, Steph went crazy. His offense was off the charts. But it was their defense that won that title.
I think this dynasty or whatever you want to call it, their defense in general has been underrated overall in terms of who they are from an identity standpoint. Forget about just
shooting.
The finals this year in general. You know what I mean?
When KD was there, oh, man, they used to lock you down defensively.
It was a real deal thing.
So Darvin Ham comes in here. By the way, he should have hired the guy's last name was Bacon. Should have put him on the coaching staff.
Dwayne Bacon?
Dwayne Bacon.
Yeah. He's still in the league.
Ham and Bacon.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
All right. Coming up next.
Sign him.
Game.
Ham called you.
It is Michael Thompson's game.
Yes. Pepe.
Pepe Mantilla is going to play, and Jorge Briones will also be a favorite. Yates, Bergman, and I will attempt to pull off an upset. It's World Cup trivia featuring Michael Thompson.
Multiple choice.
Next. On ESPN LA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it is time for Game of Games. And today we have Greg Bergman, Clinton Yates, me, it's Michael's game, and our buddy Pepe Mantilla joins us. Pepe, how are you?
How you doing, guys? Pleasure to be there with you. Today, Michael has been kind of well, you know, which is very strange. I don't know. Maybe
I'm making sense today, Pepe.
Vitamins or medicine or something.
Yeah, well, you know, he has good days and bad days like the rest of us. All Pepe. Right. All right, Michael, what's the game?
All right, Pepe, cups. We drink from them. Women are measured by them.
Mm-hmm. I'm not looking at you when you say that, Michael.
Men wear them, and we play. We compete for them. Today's game of games about the cup we play for, the World Cup of football. Pepe claims to be an experto in World Cup trivia, so we'll hear if Pepe's cup runneth over. Multiple choice.
I'm not experto. Come on.
All right, multiple choice. So all you have to do to score in this game is get it right. Here we go. This year's World Cup will be held in which country? Italy, Japan, or Qatar?
Bergman.
Qatar.
I also will say Qatar. Clinton?
100% Qatar.
Pepe?
Qatar.
Jorge?
In Espanol, Qatar, yes.
Qatar. All right, Michael, everybody get that?
Yes.
Okay.
Buzz in if you know the answer. So this is not multiple choice. Okay. First one answer. In 2026, Pepe and Jorge, y'all better get this. Mexico will be the first country in World Cup history to do what?
Pepe. Three World Cups.
Yes.
To host three World Cups.
By the way, technicality, wow. I don't actually believe that that's a real thing because it's a double nation host. I'm just going to let you guys know that. I'm just going to let you guys know that. All right.
They are one of
They're
hosts.
Not a singular host.
All right, Pepe has two. Everybody else has one.
The first World Cup was in what year? Okay. 1940, 1920, or 1930?
Bergman.
1940.
Clinton.
1930.
I also will say 1930. Pepe.
1930.
Jorge.
1930.
It is. 1930.
Okay.
Do we get to talk about who won that, or do we not want to get that far into it?
It might be a question.
Okay, that's what I was going to say, because I was going to offer some side knowledge.
Hey, we lose points for complaining.
Pepe still has the lead.
I'm trying to add more info.
Which country hosted the first World Cup? Brazil, England, or Uruguay?
Bergman.
Brazil. Why am I going first for all these?
Because they think the soccer guys need to go at the end, because if they go first, they think you and I are going to copy them.
I will.
All right, so
Brazil.
What'd you say? I will also say Brazil. Clinton.
Uruguay.
Pepe.
Uruguay.
Jorge.
Uruguay.
We're screwed.
Uh-oh.
It is Uruguay.
Okay, so only Clinton.
I didn't say anything, because that's exactly what
Pepe
I was going to say over the last question.
And Jorge. Greg, that's exactly why they're making us go. So Greg and I are in the caboose. I have two. Greg has one. Three for Jorge and Clinton, and four for Pepe.
In 1930, the first World Cup, how many countries were invited to play? 14, 19, or 13?
Boy, those are all weird numbers. Bergman.
14, 19, or 13? First World Cup. How many countries?
14.
Just to be different from Greg, I will say 13. Clinton.
Fairly certain it was 13.
Pepe.
Can you repeat that?
In 1930.
Oh, Googler. We got a Googler.
How many countries played in the first World Cup? 14, 19, or 13?
14.
And
13.
That is 13.
Hey, yes. I'm on the board. Clinton has tied. And Jorge, you got that one right.
I did, yes. So we're tied with Pepe.
Okay, so this is close now. Jorge, 4. Pepe, 4. Clinton, 4. John, 3. Greg, 1.
Which country has won the most World Cups? Germany, Spain, or Brazil?
Greg.
Brazil.
I also think it's either Germany or Brazil. Right. I'm going to say Brazil. Clinton.
I think it's the machines, the Germans.
Pepe.
Brazil.
Jorge.
Brazil.
It is Brazil.
Okay.
Okay.
How many World Cups
Hold on, wait a minute. Let me catch up here. Jorge has just taken the lead. Clinton, you missed that one, right?
Yeah.
And Pepe missed one. Okay, Jorge leads 5-4. Go ahead.
How many World Cups has Brazil won? 10, 7, or 5?
Bergman.
7.
I'm going to say 5. Clinton.
100% 5.
Dang it.
Pepe.
5.
Jorge.
5.
It is 5.
Okay.
What is the toughest group to survive or get out of called? The group of hell, the group of fear, or the group of death?
Bergman.
Group of death.
I agree with Greg. Group of death. Clinton.
G-O-D, group of death.
Pepe.
Group of death.
Jorge.
Group of death.
All right. Briona's still, it's group of death is the right answer,
yes.
Right, Michael? Okay. So it's Jorge 7, Pepe 6, John 6, Clinton 6, and Greg 3.
With 4 World Cups won, which country has the second most World Cups? Italy, Germany, or Spain?
Oh, man, this is hard. Greg.
Germany.
Germany. I'll go Germany. Clinton.
I think it's Germany. I think Italy has.
Okay. Pepe.
That's a trick question because if the question is how many they won, and Italy and Germany both won 4.
Yes. I was going to say.
That's right.
Everybody gets a point. Only had three, and I was a little
confused.
That's
right. It is trick. Italy and Germany both have 4.
All right. I just want to leave all the scores the same. Jorge, 7. Everybody else, 6, except Greg, who has 3.
Which country won the last World Cup in 2018? Germany, Spain, or France?
Greg.
I know this one. It's France.
I agree with Greg. I'd say France. Clinton.
Allez les bleus.
Clinton says That's France.
France.
Pepe.
France.
Jorge.
Yeah, France.
All right, Jorge wins a 1.
Mbappe.
Yep, it is France.
Kylian.
Pelé's first name, is it Eduardo, Edson, or Edmundo? Eduardo, Edson, or Edmundo?
Bergman.
Pelé's first name.
Edson.
What was the second one?
Eduardo or Edmundo?
I'll do Edmundo. Clinton.
I think it's Edson.
Pepe.
Repeat the question, Mike.
Pepe's first name.
That's two of those.
Eduardo, Edson, or Edmundo?
Well, what is the name of the guy? The last name?
Pele. What's his real first name?
Yeah.
Edson.
All right.
Yeah, Edson.
Yeah, I actually knew that one.
The highest attendance for a World Cup game is 100,000, 177,000, or 199,000. Highest attendance.
Greg.
Let's go the middle. 177,000.
What are the options again?
100, 177, or 199.
I think 177 sounds about right. I'll go 177. Clinton.
I think so, but I'm trying to think of where that would be. That had to be Azteca. But they don't hold that many people there.
Just guess.
I'll say 177, but.
Okay. So everybody's on 177. Pepe.
177.
All right, Jorge.
100.
199, Maracana Stadium.
Missed it. That was our opening.
Wow.
Maracana Stadium in Rio in 1950.
Maracana. In Rio. Okay. I was like, what stadium? I was trying to think of the stadium.
We're doing, Michael, 3 more. And right now, Jorge has 9, Pepe and Clinton have 8, and I have 7.
Only one country has played in every World Cup. Is it Spain, Argentina, or Brazil?
All right, now I'm going to reverse the order because everybody else has got to try and catch up. Jorge, you first.
Brazil.
Clinton.
Brazil.
Pepe.
Brazil.
And Michael, what were the other two countries?
Spain or Argentina.
I'm going to just take a shot here because I need to. I'll go Spain.
It is Brazil.
Ah!
I didn't even get to guess. But
yeah, you're too far out. And now I'm too far out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Bergman and I are out. It's a 3-horse race now.
In
2 questions left. Pepe and Clinton trail Jorge by 1.
All right. In 2026, the cup will be expanded to how many countries? 40, 38, or 48?
Jorge.
38.
Clinton.
48.
Pepe.
38.
What's the answer, Michael?
48.
Clinton!
Bingo, bingo!
Clinton is staying late. All right, so, Pepe, you've been eliminated. Oh, no, you could still get it. You have 8. Clinton has 9. Jorge has 9. So, we'll make Clinton and Jorge go first, and Pepe can have a chance if they both pick the same one.
Right.
Here we go, Michael. What's going to decide it?
In population size, which country was the smallest to play in the World Cup? Jamaica, Iceland, or Denmark?
Jorge.
Iceland.
Clinton.
Definitely Iceland.
Pepe.
Iceland.
Okay. Michael was
Iceland.
At it? All right. So now we're down to a tiebreaker situation. Pepe's out. Clinton and Jorge will decide it. They each have 9. Michael, what do you got?
Which player has scored a record 15 goals in the World Cup? Pelé, Maradona, or Ronaldo?
Jorge.
R9, Ronaldo.
Yep.
It is Ronaldo.
Okay, Clinton will go first on this one. What's the next one, Michael?
The biggest margin of victory in a World Cup qualifying match is 15-0, 31-0, or 20-0.
Did you say 15?
15-0.
15.
Yeah, 15-0.
That is 31-0.
Oh, that would have been an opportunity.
What
okay,
was that?
Back to Jorge
Australia
going first.
Over American Samoa.
Oh,
the quickest goal scored in the World Cup was 11 seconds, 20 seconds, or 60 seconds.
11 seconds.
Yeah, it's 11 seconds.
That's right. Turkey.
Okay. Still can't get one here. What? Do you have one where you can do a name as your buzzer or no? Are they all multiple choice?
All multiple choice.
All right, keep going.
The best player on Team USA World Cup team is Rick Pulisic, Chris Pulisic, or Chris Pulisic?
Christian.
Christian.
Yeah, they both know that. All right. You got another one?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
How many World Cups have there been? 19, 24, or 21?
Jorge.
19, 24, or 21? How many World Cups?
21.
Clinton.
I think it's 19.
It is 21.
Can I just say quickly, there was this whole notion that Pepe and Jorge had some outrageous advantage, and your boy wasn't going to have any kind of shot.
No, you did. You did really good, but some of the questions that Mike asked are kind of like very obscure.
What?
You know?
Obscure?
It was not, Pepe. You Google.
I thought that game went.
I told y'all I'm going to know a lot more of this than you claim to think. I'm glad I made it to the final.
A brother knows more soccer than a Latino.
I'm from D.C. We're a big soccer market.
Wait a minute. Pepe,
go down on this one.
Pepe, I have an important question. Last week, Michael fixed the game to be about Mexican food so you could win, and you didn't win. And this week, he fixed it to be about World Cup so you could win, and you didn't win. What category can he have to give you the best chance to win?
I'm not going to choose the category. Michael can't choose
the
category.
How about famous people named Pepe?
That's
Le Pew.
Like I said, Pepe, you have a photographic memory. But then, Jorge, congratulations.
Thank you, Pepe.
You won fair and square.
Pepe, Jorge is representing La Raza, not you.
Pepe, by the way, looked great at the Mandy's, which you missed, Michael. He had a fantastic jacket on.
Pepe's
jacket looked strong.
Pepe, did you already own that jacket, or did you get it for the Mandy's?
I got it for the Mandy.
That was beautiful.
You look good.
I may have to borrow that from you one day.
Pepe,
all right.
Your Mexican amigo is going to kill you for losing that thing.
All right.
Listen, Mike, I insist. You better put this in your mind. Next year for the Mandy's, you have to be there. No excuses.
No excuses, Michael.
What if I'm in the Bay Area for the championship?
We'll bring you on by Zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
By Zubas.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Pepe, thank you for playing. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, Pepe. All right. I'll try to find another subject you're an expert at. I'm running out of subjects, Pepe.
Jorge, it's Stager.
KSPN AM 710 Los Angeles.
KRDC AM 1110 Pasadena, Los Angeles.
K256CX 99.1 FM Pasadena, Los Angeles.
It's the greatest segment in LA sports radio history. Radio history.
Oh my God.
When the shows come together for magic on the radio.
If Bologna grows stronger. Super Crosstalk.
Are we ready for Sedano and Kaff to join Mason in Ireland?
Super Crosstalk begins!
Super Crosstalk, presented by Coors Light. Coors Light, made to chill.
It's time for Super Crosstalk.
It is time for Super Crosstalk. You hear him in the background. There's Scotty Kaplan. George Sedano's here. What's going on, boys?
Yo.
We're good. By the way, John, I just want to say one thing to you.
Yes.
All right. One thing to say to you, and then one thing to say to Bergman.
Okay.
I thought your interview, I heard the Damian Jones one, I only caught a little bit of the Juan Toscano-Anderson, was very good. Now, clearly, Steve Mason is the one holding you back in this regard.
Yeah, somebody tweeted me that. Which was interesting.
And Bergman, in that regard, just in specifically towards Ireland, suck it, Bergman.
Why? Bergman's good.
Or maybe it just, it lit a fire under him.
It did light a fire. You know what? That is true, Bergman.
Your energy was high in those interviews, Ireland.
John, I hadn't heard you
with that kind of energy during an interview in a long, long time.
Well, that's because we haven't had an interview, George, in 6 months. All right?
Now,
we
now
have a
Michael
producer
right,
who doesn't
though.
Book you, any guests.
Michael is right. I did catch when Michael joined the show. You guys do a little softball occasionally. There oh,
yeah.
is that.
Yeah, I will say it before, and this is exactly the way it should be. If you put George Sedano, John Ireland, and Steve Mason on a lie detector, all three of us would say we're the better interviewer than the other two, and that's exactly how it should be.
Right, but at least so. You and I would have a real shot, apparently.
Now, I wanted, George and Cap, I wanted to get your opinion on a story we all commented on earlier. Now, Kyler Murray, I don't yeah. know if you guys heard this.
Oh, but God, we, I heard this.
This was Clinton and Michael disagreed.
Yeah, Yates has no standards.
No, now, Kyler Murray gets his hair done by a woman named Swanee.
Yeah.
And so Swanee is an opinionated woman, and she went on a podcast the other day and explained why she doesn't cut Kyler Murray's hair anymore.
Braid his hair.
Yeah, and I want you guys to tell me if you're on Team Kyler or Team Swanee. Here we go.
I also did Kyler Murray's hair.
Stop back for a second. You did Kyler's hair?
I did.
How was Kyler?
He actually told me don't tell nobody, but I didn't sign an NDA, so I'm going to say what the hell I want to say. Kyler, I did his hair, and I thought he was so cool. I did his hair. I was honored to do his hair. It's f***ing Kyler Murray. Like, hello. I noticed immediately that he's very entitled. I'm a strong black woman, so this is going to be a very interesting relationship. When I'm doing your hair, we're dating. A lot of us are married, and some of us break up. Me and Kyler broke up.
No, when you say you broke up, what do you mean by that?
We broke up because he I felt disrespected. He DM'd me immediately and I responded back and I'm like, hey, yeah, I can do your hair, whatever. So I did his hair. But then, you know, we would have little moments where we're clashed. One of the moments was he made a comment about the shade room and how black girls run it and how they can be messy. And I'm like, hello, I'm a black woman. Like, calm yourself. So then one day he calls me and he's like, hey, Swanee, when you come on Thursday, can you wear pants? I don't want to wear pants. I want to wear what I wear. Why do I have to wear pants? If you can control your eyes, that's one thing. And if your girlfriend's insecure, that's her problem. I'm 29 years old. You're, what, 22? I'm a mom of four. I work out every day. I service you whenever you want. One braid is out of place, and I come and fix it for you. And you want me to wear pants? You could f*** off. I didn't say f*** off, but I said, you got me f***ed up. Your appointment's canceled on Thursday. Excuse me? I'm like, your appointment's canceled. Well, can you not tell the team about this? Oh, I'm telling the whole f***ing team about this.
All right, Cap. He wanted her to wear pants. She is a grown woman who doesn't want to wear pants. She doesn't want to follow a dress code. She wants to wear what she wants. Scott Kaplan, who's right?
Who's the customer?
Kyler.
Kyler Murray.
Done.
And she's in this house.
Right. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter that she's 29 and has four kids and that she's a professional woman and he's a 22-year-old entitled little punk, according to her. Regardless, he's the customer. And whether it's because he can't control his eyes or his girlfriend's upset or his mom lives with him and she says that girl's inappropriate when she comes here, do you want the business or do you not want the business? I'm asking you to just do me one favor. Listen, put it this way. If I had a massage therapist come over to my house and she's wearing tiny little short shorts, I would be like, oh, that's cool. That's a great look. Wear that every time. But if my girlfriend said, hey, I don't like that, then I might say to her, hey, could you mind doing me a favor? Would you, when you come over, I know you like those little short shorts, but can you just put on something that's a little less revealing? Because it, you know, it, I don't
Cap,
like
let me ask
really
you a let me ask you a quick question.
Go ahead, Clinton.
You know how it says on a, when you walk into an establishment, oftentimes if the establishment is a very busy place, there is a sign that will say, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone." That is what this woman is flexing in this particular situation, and I yes. don't think there's anything wrong with
George
that.
George Sedano,
no,
what say
with,
you?
Honestly, I don't have an issue with either of them, to be frank with you. Like, if he
oh,
wants
stop
her,
stop straddling the fence.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't straddle the fence much, but in this situation, like, I can understand Kyler Murray in light of everything that's transpiring, particularly with another quarterback
there
in the NFL
go.
Right now.
Exactly. There you go.
I would venture to guess that that position is probably the smart position to take, to not have any potential issues or run-ins down the road. And you know, maybe it's not that he has a jealous girlfriend or whatever. So I guess if I were leaning in a direction, I would lean in Kyler's, but she is absolutely in her right as well to be like, all right, bro, I'm out. See
right.
you later.
Let me ask you this. Sorry, quickly, because I this is a question that I brought up with Ireland as well, which is, do you think that he said don't tell the team because he might have ruined her skills for the rest of the team, not because he was actually concerned about her airing him out in public? Like, why would you say that if you didn't really care that much either way? I feel like she said she braised the whole team, right? And if he's the one who's messed it up with her as the leader, do you think there's a possibility that he did not want that to get back to the rest of the team because they would be upset with him for getting rid of the best breeder they have?
By the way, I love Jonathan Watson, who is one of the biggest super fans of 710 ESPN. He just wrote to me, judging by Swanee's IG, sounds like Kyler Murray's girlfriend got a little jealous. I mean, look at Swanee. You can understand.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, George. I think you bring up a really good point, though. Like, given everything that's happened with Deshaun Watson, why would you not say, hey, look, I can't even have you wearing that around me? Because, look, I'll give you guys an example. When Robert Kraft got busted in a massage parlor,
yeah,
a lot of guys stopped going to massage parlors.
Laura, from a woman's standpoint,
are not.
Just put a bite of food in her mouth, and then you bring Laura into it.
But from a woman's standpoint, if she's inappropriately dressed and the guy's girlfriend, wife.
Wait, but inappropriately dressed.
No, obviously she is. So Laura,
well, she wore something that made him uncomfortable.
Wasn't Kyler right to say we put on something less revealing?
Okay, two things here. I think they're both right, and it's not that I'm on the fence, but because as a person who's like, hey, you're going to be very close to me, I want to feel comfortable, I need you to put... I hate when men tell women what to wear, but in this case, I understand why he said it. It has nothing to do with the girlfriend. It's about him and his position and where he's at. I also understand where she's at, where it's like, yo... this is how I feel comfortable doing my work because it's not something that is easy, right? It's very intricate and they want to be comfortable and able to move. But it's like, girl, wear yoga pants, wear sweats, like wear something that you're going to, that's covering, but it's still comfortable.
Cap, the blocking of actual braiding is something that's important here. When you get your hair braided, you have to sit in between somebody's legs, like literally. And so I think
how Kyle long does it take roughly?
At least 3 hours, depending on how much you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wait, and I've never done it personally, but clearly, I worked very closely with someone here who did in LZ for many years. He used to get his braids locked, his locks done. I'm sorry. And so, LZ, whenever LZ had to go to the salon to get his hair done, it would be a 4-hour affair or longer.
And I've been to LZ's salon. They have chairs there. It's a whole thing. But when you're in somebody's house you're sitting between somebody, you're sitting in somebody's lap, basically. Yeah. So I understand why he could say that, but I can also understand why, Scott, I don't know how familiar you are with braiding. You are touching that person on multiple connectivity points for many hours.
Hey, let me ask you guys all a question just about this general topic. Since the Me Too movement, have you been less direct with women?
Complimentary?
Because I have.
Complimentary, you mean?
Yeah.
You have?
Like I used to always comment to Amanda. Amanda has, like, really fun pants.
Okay.
And that she wears sometimes. And I would say, hey, love your pants. Now I'll only say it to her if it's just me and her. Huh. Because I don't want to be walking down the hallway.
You can say to someone, you look nice. Like, I saw Laura and Lindsay at the Manny's. He's like, oh, wow, you guys look really nice.
Yeah, everybody looked great at the Manny's. But what I'm saying, George, is like, I specifically comment. Like, if I'm walking down the hallway and I say to Amanda, hey, cool pants. And somebody else will just use Laura because you're here.
Okay.
If you're in the hallway, Laura, and I don't say anything about your pants, I worry that you'll get upset I didn't comment on your outfit.
No, that's
so now I don't say anything unless I'm one-on-one with the girl.
I don't think that has anything to do with me too. I think that that's just insecurities potentially by other people. But what I would say is, look, as long as you don't, like, sound lecherous like Cappy did with Laura's boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
That was a disaster.
Have you heard this?
Come on, Clint.
Your boyfriend was very handsome.
I wasn't just listening.
My boyfriend is very handsome.
I wasn't just listening. I was standing right in front of you.
So what did Cap say?
Cap was for you.
Have you seen those cartoons where, like, the wolf, like, their mouth drops and they start drooling?
Yeah.
I think we should let Cap tell the story. Cap, what? What's your version of this story?
And then we'll play the audio.
Michael, this is a great exaggeration. Michael, let me explain to you what happened. I met Laura's boo for the first time. This was the day of the Mandy's.
Red carpet Mandy's.
Right. And Clinton, George, me, and Beto Duran.
And Lindsay.
Yes, but we were all on the air at this exact moment. Yes, and Lindsay was there.
Correct.
Right, okay. So now here comes Laura walking up with her boo. Now this is the first time I've had a chance to meet this young man. And I'd heard that he's a handsome guy. So as he was standing there in front of me, Michael, I was checking him out.
Yeah.
Head to toe.
So I'm going to pantomime what Kaplan was doing just while you talk.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Please.
Given the up down? Cap was doing the up down?
Do we have the audio?
We do.
All right. Okay, no, Laura actually has audio. Okay.
Right, let Michael judge this.
Let's hear.
All right, Michael, hear this.
To the people who know how you're going.
Look at this superstar that just arrived.
That's what you need.
Wow.
You know, Laura just pulled up. What's going on?
Your girl did her hair.
Is this TiVo?
I'm Scott. Oh. Nice to meet you, man.
Yeah. Man, well, he doesn't want to be known, bro.
Yeah, what are we doing? He's just
remember, he gets hidden on Instagram. He doesn't want to be known. Why you got to put
why don't you have an emoji on?
I was going to say. Should have brought him an emoji mask. Yeah,
that's funny.
I'm taking a look at this guy right here. Yeah. Good looking.
What are you, sizing him up? Yeah, yeah, what's going on here?
Giving him the up down.
Scott's out here up down.
Why are you so creepy?
We haven't met with everybody.
We haven't even started the red carpet show.
Sorry, man. So what are you wearing? You know?
Scott, you might be off the broadcast for the 360K.
Yeah, Yank.
This is how you're going to be treating guests. We can't have that. We can't have that.
Smell delicious.
And he does, right?
Smells great, right?
That's got to be like cool water.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's not.
Using words like delicious to describe somebody.
What is that, cool water?
Not problematic
at all. Why are you
all
such a creepy person?
Why?
He wasn't, by the way.
Like, I mean, you were like in a trance right now.
I was going to say, he couldn't even hear the question because he's too busy focused on what's going on in front of him.
Well, I really like what this gentleman is wearing.
Yeah.
I like his ring.
Yeah.
I like his hair.
Yeah.
Like his eyes.
Yeah. And he's got, what else?
Wow. Good looking
guy.
This
for real?
Good looking guy.
Absolute member of the Handsome Man community.
Okay, so yes. Michael, I didn't think that, I didn't think that was bad.
No,
the visual,
that's
if you were there, the level
worse
of old guy.
Michael,
let me ask
worse
you a question. Yeah. Have you ever described another person, okay, that isn't your wife as delicious?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Oh yeah,
really?
Like who? Yeah, normally he reserves that for the Rock.
Every time I
or Rick Fox.
Every time I see the Rock or Rick Fox or Cristiano Ronaldo, I drool over. I'm sure. I wish I looked like that.
Okay.
You know, I said Chris Paul has pretty eyes. What's wrong with that?
All right. What is wrong with that?
Yeah.
What's with you guys?
Nothing wrong with admiring a good-looking guy.
Kevin, no, I was not bothered by anything you said.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And by the way, Beto Duran agreed with the deliciousness.
Guy. It has everything to do with the way how lecherous Scott Kaplan is.
Yes, it was a tonality situation.
Oh, when I look at The Rock, believe me, I drool too. So, oh, I wish I looked like that. Oh, so I can understand where Cap's coming from.
Me too, me too.
So, Michael, I have a weird question. Yeah. If Winning Time continues into the 80s,
yep,
are you going to be offended if they don't hire a really good-looking guy to play you?
Yeah, it's got to be a good-looking guy. It's got to be a Rock, Rick Fox type of guy.
Couldn't Trace do it? Couldn't Trace play you if it was like not in baseball season?
No, he looks too white.
Oh, fair enough.
Here
he is. Yes.
Fair
enough.
He's
more than he is Michael.
Michael
sure
could do it. He's my color.
Yeah.
He's light skin like
or
me.
Andy, your brother Andy looks like you a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, have you reached out to Key about another light skin championship?
That's right. Remember, Key used to talk all the time about how light skin guys were soft.
Right.
I said no, man, because light skin guys ain't soft.
Yeah. Steph and Clay have won both four titles.
Exactly. Yeah. Key used to kill us about that.
My kind of content.
But Cap, I thought how you were complimenting and admiring Laura's boyfriend was within bounds. There wasn't nothing creepy about it at all.
It's hard to describe the trance he
Thank
was
you
in, though.
That's
what's difficult. The way he was looking at him, I've never seen Scott look at anybody like this. Yeah.
Yeah, but I just had to look up the word lecherous that George has used here a couple of times.
Maybe Cap just wanted to increase the people going to the post party.
It was.
So, Laura, do you look at your boyfriend the way Cap was looking at
him? Oh, I look at him way worse.
Well, okay. Well, so the clip. Let me just explain this quickly. The clip got cut off before Laura put herself in between the two of them physically to separate them because Scott kept encroaching into the area. That actually happened.
Should have told him, you two guys get a room or something.
By the way, Michael, Laura at the Mandy's, hot.
Oh, yeah, Laura's a beautiful
everybody
lady.
Got it done.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me.
You looked fantastic
Thank
at the Mandy's.
So much.
What happened to all this Me Too talk and being worried about saying something to women? Like, all of a sudden, hot?
No, yeah, but, like, hot.
We're all there, yeah.
I thought
everybody
Laura looked great.
Everybody looked good. So did you, Cap.
Thanks. Hey, listen, it was a great time. I can't believe it's already been, like, this Friday will be a full 2 weeks, right? Or is it 3 weeks already?
I think
it'll
be 2.
Are you going to talk about the Mandy's like like Al Bundy does?
Oh,
sure.
Wait. No,
by the way, George, I can bring this full circle. Al Bundy, Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Starring as Donald Sterling in Ramona's
Kenosha. I know.
That's right.
Yeah, Ramona. Well, I know originally, it's funny, when we were talking about this, Ramona and I, you know, a long time ago now, I said, you got to get Tommy Lee Jones. But apparently Tommy Lee Jones was like, eh.
Yeah, it's not going to work. You know why, Sedano? Because every time I'll just see Al Bundy.
Well, no, he's known to a whole generation of people. It's the guy from Modern Family. He had another 10-year run on a show.
But Tommy Lee Jones would have been the guy for sure.
Yeah, that would have worked.
I think they talked to him. I think they tried to get
him.
No,
yeah, they did. Ramona said they did, but he turned it down.
Well, just get Denzel. He could play any part.
Hey, Denzel can play Donald Sterling?
He's so good. He could pull it off. Right,
they do a lot with makeup these days, George.
All right, so if you're going to...
By the way, I would say Denzel has kind of creeped into this... I know people are going to get mad when I say this. him and Tom Cruise have creeped into this category of they basically play the same person in every movie.
That's a good thing.
Ooh, I can see why you went crazy over this guy. Laura just sent me a picture of him.
How about the nose ring, the earring? He smells delicious. The hair, the eyes, the clothes.
Well, he'd be on Team Light Skin, Michael.
Definitely. Yeah, Key wouldn't like him.
Key was nice to him.
Even though he was light skinned?
Yeah, he was nice.
All right. If you're going to the Dodger game tonight, keep an eye out for Michael Thompson. He'll be the one pacing the concourse.
Oh, are you
going
to go?
Yeah, I'm going to
go up here.
Wow, wait a second. This is like a monumental moment. You're actually going to go to the Dodgers?
Yeah, because I'm already up here. I wouldn't drive.
Have you been to a game since Trace was on the Dodgers the last time?
Too far to drive.
Yeah, he's even wearing a Dodgers shirt.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. You know, your son tried to call me a jinx, and clearly I wasn't. Your son, Clay.
Right.
You ended up winning the championship. Now, if you show up, I mean, Trace has been on a tear, particularly with runners in scoring position. If you show up and he goes 0-for, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, banned.
Right. That'd be a good excuse.
Trace already told him he can't wear a Trace Thompson jersey at the game because it's too corny.
That's right.
It is. It is a little corny. But Michael, I mean, where will you be during this game? Are you literally just out in the stands somewhere, or you got something good going on?
I have a seat, but I sit in the handicap section. As long as no handicap people are sitting there, I sit in the handicap because there's more leg room, because I can't fit in those seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Michael will be at the Dodger game. Sedano and Cap are coming up next. CY, thank you.
No problem. We'll see if I'm here tomorrow. Toss up.
I just got a text from Mason. Fredo is being discharged tonight.
Okay. Very well.
Tolerated medicines well, breathing better, heart now working. I'll be back tomorrow.
Wow. Well, I'm still doing TV tomorrow, so if that changes, I'll be here.
We may look you up. All right. Sedano and Cap coming up, ESPN LA.